It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, good morning, folks. It's your old buddy Luke Clayton. I hope everyone's had a cup of coffee or two. I know that I have. It's mighty early in the morning, and I know that a lot of you do tune in. I want to remind everyone, though, that if you don't catch the show in the morning at 5 o'clock here on KETR, you can go online to the website, ketr.org, and you can listen to it right there. Usually on Saturdays, it's posted right there on the front page. And you can always go to local programs, KETR first, of course, and then go to local programs. And, gosh, there's shows from years back, as including the current show that we do each week. So you can always tune in right there. Another way to stay in contact with me, folks, is Catfish Radio. That's a radio website that I've got. Actually, it's kind of a clearinghouse for a lot of my writing and different things. You can always go to catfishradio.com and check that out, too. You know, I'm coming to you this week from up in the mountains up in northern Colorado, actually up about 15 miles northwest of Steamboat Springs, which is probably no more than 45 miles as the crow flies to the Wyoming border. A friend of mine, Larry Large, who's been a guest many, many times, and I outfit elk and bear hunts up there. We're just getting started, and I thought we might talk today a little bit about what it's like to be up in the high country. Temperatures right now at night will get down to 38. I think last night it was 39. But, you know, a typical day up there, 38 to 41, somewhere in there at night for the coldest. And in the daytime, 70, 72. I have seen it up as warm as 80 a couple of years ago up here in the mountains. But the thing about hunting in the mountains, you know, in the Rockies, you have to be prepared for just about any kind of weather. Now, I have seen it, what I call spit, a little sleet, and mixed with snow. I've seen that about 3 years ago, the first week in September. But my buddy Larry Large, about 7 years ago, said there was a foot of snow either September the 1st or September the 2nd right on Sleeping Giant Mountain where we're at. So I've never seen it snow that early. I've never been there when it did, but it certainly does. You know, it's pretty common. And then rainstorms up here in the mountains. We had a little shower come in last night. It can be crystal clear during the day. You'll see on the other side of old Sleeping Giant Mountain over there, you'll see a storm cloud begin to form, and it'll rain like crazy for maybe 15, 20 minutes, and then it'll clear up again and be sunny. But that's kind of the nature of hunting up in the mountains. You do have to be ready for everything and anything. Camp meals, we might talk a little bit about how we eat up here. Usually we get up early. Well, not usually, but always. We usually have six hunters in camp at one time, and we have either two or three groups. This year we have two groups of six. They hunt for 5 days, but we're up well before daylight. And our camp cook will have some sweet rolls and plenty of coffee and all that. We usually come back down. Sometimes he'll pack us lunches for when we're going to spend all day up on the mountain hunting. But as a rule, we'll come back down and have a big brunch. We'll be back down by 10:30 or 11. By then, the elk are usually bedded, and the bear hunting is always better in the afternoon and evening anyway. So really no need to get out if you're targeting bear. No need to get out there at daylight necessarily, you know. But we'll get back in about 10:30, 11, and this year I made a bunch of breakfast sausage back in Texas. I actually bought some pork, which is, if you listen to me very much, you know that's kind of rare. But I went to one of the big Hispanic food markets. You know, they have two or three butchers on staff, and instead of just having cellophane-wrapped cuts, they actually butcher the pork and right there in the shop, in the butcher shop. So, and if you watch their sales, I bought actually 10, it was I had 3 bags, 10 pounds a piece, 30 pounds of pork chops that were 99 cents a pound. They were in cut, and there was a little fat on them, more fat than you'd normally get, but they were perfect for making breakfast sausage. So I, you know, used the seasonings from Butcher Packer Supply. I went online, and for gosh, $4.50 or something like that, I got enough seasoning, the breakfast blend. I like the, most of our hunters enjoy the hot. That's what I like. I bought enough to make 25 pounds. So 25 pounds of those pork chops got ground up and made into some very, very good, very lean breakfast sausage. So I froze those into about 2-pound packages and packed them away. Brought them up to Colorado, so we have that for breakfast. We have fresh, sugar-cured, and smoked ham that I made. I found some shoulder meat. Actually, they cut it probably 2 inches thick and pieces that would weigh 2 pounds. I took that and got it for about $1.39 a pound, again, at the Hispanic grocery store, the big one that I traveled and went to. But I cured that, rubbed some sugar cure on it and a little extra brown sugar, let it cure in the refrigerator about 10 days, and then I smoked it. And, you can cold smoke stuff when it's cured like that. So I smoked it about 6 or 8 hours, some of the best ham that you can imagine, way leaner than what you'd buy, you know, at the grocery store. So our breakfast meals consist of always plenty of good, lean breakfast sausage, ham, eggs. Our buddy David Hansen, who's a good friend of mine that is our camp manager up there and cook, David's got a machine that makes French fries out of potatoes. So no peeling the potatoes, just get those good and clean, run them through this press, and it makes instant French fries. So we have a lot of times he'll have some of those thin-cut French fries, ham or sausage or both, and eggs for breakfast, and very, very tasty. We're eating that about 10:30 or 11 after the first morning hunt. So you will usually lounge around camp after that for till about 2:30, and then it's time to think about the evening hunt, the afternoon hunt. The bear hunt in the afternoon, though, that is just so exciting and comical at times to see those bears out there splashing around. Usually, though, the ones that our hunters target, they usually come in just before dark, a little bit later in the day. And, gosh, see one of those big – I've had them – we've had those bear walk within 10 feet of our blind. And actually, at times, had the bears, you know, especially the young, the cubs, when there's a sow with cubs, had them stick their head in the ground blind that we hunt from. That's no kidding. And that'll definitely get your attention when one of those – couple of those bear cubs look in. You're not so worried about that, but you're worried about mama, what she's going to think about her babies getting that close to humans, you know. But when we're not actually hunting the wallows for the elk, we'll hunt trails. They're pretty dependable. Some of those trails up there on the mountains where we hunt are 3 foot deep. The elk just use them day in and day out, you know. And if you can find a junction of two trails or a place where a little saddle in the mountain where the elk just, they naturally like to travel saddles, which is a low depression between two mountains. If you can get in a spot like that where the elk like to travel, you're well on your way. Now, the early part right now of elk season, the bulls are just beginning to get into rut. They're not into what we call hard rut yet. You can hear them, you know, if you watch much TV or if you've ever been up there and hear them during the rut, the bugling, it's those big herd bulls, they can put out quite a bugle that can be heard for miles, really, in on a steel mountain day. But right now the bulls are kind of squealing, I call it, more of a high-pitched squeal. They're trying to, actually they're mimicking the cows somewhat in their early part of their bugling. Cow calls are real effective right now. The bulls are They've broken up from their bachelor herds, and they're out looking for trying to round up a harem, but not like they're going to be in one more week. Now, next week, the bulls will be in full rut, usually by the second week in September, sometimes earlier, but you never know. Depending, I think the weather is a big factor on that. But when they start, don't think you can't call one in, kind of like turkey hunting. You know, you can use a hen call, and you might hear an old gobbler out there 400 yards away. Well, he has the innate ability to pinpoint where that sound's coming from. A bull elk does the same thing, except early on right now during the rut, they won't always bugle back. So bugling can be very effective early elk season if you'll bugle and then just remain quiet and just watch, because many, many times I've had a bugle and had a bull come in right there on the hunter unannounced, just show up, you know. Of course, a lot of people think about, well, how do you get the animals off the mountain? We usually quarter them up. And when you get shoot a big bull elk, it's like shooting a horse up in the mountains, if you can picture that, a small horse, you know. But we've got some young guys and some people that are ready to do some packing. We've done it for years, but Larry and I are depending more and more on these younger guys now that we're getting some age on us. But we get an elk down, we all pitch in. Get him field dressed and quartered up, and then, we get him out of there the best way you can, you know. We use these electric vehicles that I get up at. We get these from Plano golf carts up in Plano that are very rugged. I've been using mine for 6 years up there, but we'll get a buggy, we call it, electric buggy, in as close as we can on a road, and then we'll start whittling on that elk and bring him out in quarters, you know. And you know, usually you can load one guy and one quartered up elk on one of our electric buggies. If not, we'll get two. Occasionally we have to take a pickup up. There's a haul roads up in the mountains that we can go to, and if it's just depends on how close that elk falls to a trail that you can get an electric buggy on, or if you luck out where you can drive a pickup up close to the road and load him in that fashion. That's really the easiest way to do it. So once we get the elk in the evenings, and it seems like most of them are killed in the evenings, once we get that elk quartered up and back to camp, we have a processor there in Steamboat Springs that I think he charges $275, which is a deal. He'll even come out to the ranch, pick up the animals, take them into his processing plant, package and wrap them for something like $275. I believe that's the rate that he charges. Very, very reasonable for that. And when you're away from home, he'll even flash freeze it for you, so when you're bringing your meat back, all you got to do is bring the coolers and pick up your meat frozen, and it'll stay, if you use a good big cooler, stay plenty cold all the way back home. Then you can put it into your freezer. So that's kind of the way we do it. The big meal of the day is after the evening hunt. We'll have some major meals up there. We even had a fish fry. David, Hanson is a pro catfish guide at Tewakinen, and he's also our account manager. So David, and he actually commissioned my help on this to catch a bunch of channel catfish the last couple of months. So we're going to have that fish fry next week when our other group of hunters come in. We're going to have another fish fry. So always fun to do that. We'll have one night, we usually have steak, baked potatoes and salad, goulash, these can cookers. We use the can cooker a lot with sausage and vegetables in there. You can cook a lot of food in one of those big can cookers. So we do some cooking with those also. But we've got about another 10 days up here in the mountains, and then we will be back to Texas after about 10 days. And I want to mention to you, invite a lot of you to come to the Greenville Library. That's going to be on a Monday evening, October the 3rd. I've got a little, meet and greet and an open forum where we can come, everybody can come and visit with me and talk hunting. That'll be at the Greenville Library from 6 to 7:30 on Monday, October the 3rd. The number, if you need to call for more information there, is 903-457-2992. Folks, this is Luke Clayton, and thank you very much for tuning in to today's show. And remember, you can listen to the archive of all of our shows at ketr.org. Just go there and look under local programs. Today's show was made possible by the Dallas Safari Club, Smoking Tech's Electric Smokers, Air Force Air Guns, the Texas Deer Association, Sun Optics USA, Purina Mills, and Darton Archery.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.